11 and verse 1. That's where we're going from, thank the Lord. So let's all pray. Let's pray that they'll be ministered to tonight. They'll be able to be taught something and that we apply the word of God to our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. We thank you that we're able to come round your word tonight, my God. And we do pray that as we go through, that the Holy Spirit, my God, that he'll teach us something, my God. That, Lord, not just to gain knowledge, my God, of your word, but knowledge of who you are, my Lord. To draw us closer to you and ever say, you want us to be, my God. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. Love, amen, when you've got it. Amen. That's right. It says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonours his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonours her head. For that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, thou also be shorn. But it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed not ought to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but the woman for man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man comes through woman, but all things are from God. Judge among yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself tell you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonour to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. But praise the Lord, we're going to be talking about head coverings tonight, and headship really, about the home. But we'll start off. Do you know what are probably the only man-made things in the Bible? Chapters and verses. They weren't added 200 years later to help us understand a bit more. But sometimes they're put in the wrong place. See, 11 verse 1 says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But what Paul's talking about there is what Joseph preached last week. At the end of what Joseph preached, it was on about flee from idolatry. Be a good testimony. Don't be a stumbling block for your weaker brother or sister. That's what Paul's saying. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Now what I could have done, which would have been very easy, is just preach all night on what Paul says there and leave the rest of it for someone else. But that wouldn't be right. We've got to take things in context of what they say. We don't just take the verse that we like and preach from it. We've got to take it in the context that's in the book. Now that's what Paul was on about there. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. It's simple really, isn't it? We shouldn't be idolaters. We should flee from that. We should be a good testimony for those outside the church. And we shouldn't be a stumbling block for one another. If there's something that you're doing that is causing a brother or sister to stumble, stop. Simple as, isn't it? Stop. But what Paul's going to be talking about now, and I think it ain't just about head covering, right? Because people get hung up on it. It's not about head covering, but it's the order in what God wants things to do. That's what Paul's main concern is in this scripture. It's what Paul is on about, God's order of things. Now, Galatians tells us that men and women are all equal before Christ. Amen. We can say amen to that. We're all equal. We're all children of God. Those who are born again in this place, we're children of God. But God still has an order in which way we do things. Listen, if I run a business, well, I do run a business, right? But if I had lots of employees, right? If I had lots of employees, right? They're all equal people. But I put employees somewhere higher than others. Because that's how, if I'm running something, that's how I want it to run. And this is, and what we're going to talk about is not how we want things to run, but how God wants things to run in the church and between man and woman. And it's always what matters is what God wants. It's not about how we feel or what we think is right. It's what God wants. And God is always right. And we're not always right, believe it or not. But he starts off, he says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that every head of man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." Now, what Paul's talking about here, the traditions Paul's talking about here, is what we're going to be going into, about Ed covering what he's taught. Which when Paul's teaching, when things are in Scripture, they're inspired. We ain't talking about the things the Catholic Church have like chucked up and what they do. Like the worship of Mary, that you've got to pray rosary beads, go to confession, do loads of mass. That's tradition, that's not biblical. What Paul's talking about, things I've taught you. Because remember, when Paul was writing this, all they had was the Old Testament. They never read the New Testament when Paul was writing. The New Testament was still in progress. It was all still in progress. They're writing it as we're going. So what Paul's talking to them here, this is what I'm giving you. This is what we're learning. This is what the church has to do and teach. Right? This ain't traditions that me, Joseph and Charles can't make traditions up and expect everyone else to follow them. We go by Scripture alone, don't we? Scripture alone, that's it. Ain't about traditions. And that's what Paul's talking about. But it starts off, before he gets into all this, he uses the perfect example here. He says, "The head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." So he's putting an order there. But obviously, there's an order in the home, isn't there? Women submit to your husbands. Husband loves your wives as Christ loves the church. There's an order of things. But what we see today, and we went to an Answers in Genesis conference last year. Right? And if someone wants a debate, go to a conference somewhere. Because they love it. Right? But I'm with the boys up there, just having a chat. And this dear old fella, he's on about women preachers, right? So, but what it is, his wife's on about women preachers, and because she don't want to debate, she's chucked him up. Right? I don't want to debate. But he's with the younger brothers, so I thought, oh mate, why? I just want to rest. Right? So they've called me over. What do you think this brother's on about women preachers? I said, they don't exist, women pastors don't exist. Well, that's not right. You know, on about today's society and things like this. And so I thought, well, what I'll do, I'll put it in today's society language and say, well, make it sound a bit stupid. Oh, I said, well, there is a way. Now I've got his ear rolls, haven't I? I said, there is a way. If the woman says she's now become a man, right, she's no longer a woman, I suppose, yeah, right? Like trans. So I put it right on him. He didn't know what to say. It was so stupid. I said, and I looked at him, I said, that's what you're asking the Word of God to do. To fit today's society and our beliefs into the Word. That's what you're asking to do. And it don't wash. God's got an order of things. The conversation never lasted much longer than that. But it's putting it that way how God wants things. Now, what is today? There's no, when you're looking outside, we just look for a minute on the outside. Marriage ain't really a thing much no more, is it? Ain't like years ago. Marriage was a stable thing in this country. Today it's not. All your education now. Ain't about the structure of a family no more, is it? It's not about that. It's about destruction of the family. They're mixing children's minds up. They take them to the school, not learning them to go on and earn a living. Or learning them things they need to know. They're destroying them. Satan's got hold of the schools and morality is going out the window. Right? There's an order of things. That's why God's put this in order. And even in the church today, sadly, people get upset when you talk about women preachers. Well, because you're taking today's thinking and putting it into the Bible, what God don't want. And he uses the perfect example. When he talks about man, Christ is the head of man, man is the head of woman, but then he says, the head of Christ is God. The head of Christ is God the Father. Right, now just think about it. Now, women under man, man under Christ, but then all of a sudden, he's used the perfect example of humbleness and being submissive. And that's Christ coming into humbleness under the Father. And if you could turn to Philippians 2 and verses 5 to 8, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now think about it. Was Christ equal with God the Father? He is. Is woman and man equal? Christ submitted to the Father, even though being his equal. So what's God saying here? Woman submits to the man. Might be equal, but that's how God wants it. And before the woman goes, hold up a minute, he goes, well, Christ goes, hold up. I've shown you the perfect example. I'm not going to ask something of you that I wouldn't do myself. That's what Christ is saying. And listen, you might be upset. Come and shout and scream at me all you want afterwards if you don't like it. But shout and scream at Christ. You go, well, look, I've done it. Why can't you? Listen, I have to submit to people. I submit to Joseph and Charles, the elders of the mission. Don't I, haven't we? That's part of it. That's part of being in ministry. Well, sometimes. It's very rarely, but sometimes. But listen, we have to. We're all of us submit somewhere, don't we? That's why we have an eldership in here. We have to submit to one another. There's got to be an eldership. There's not one man at the top. Because who are they answerable to? You know, God's got things in place. We might not like it. But you know what? You know what used to get said to me when my mother and father used to tell me things that I didn't like? Tough. Get over it. Simple as that. If God's put something in there, do you think it's for our better or for our worse? It's to better us. That's what he's for. That's why God's got things. And like I said, Christ is equal with the Father, but he was submissive. And God's put it in there for it's in a marriage in the home. But then he talks about, it goes from that, because that's what it's really about, being submissive. It ain't all about the head coverings, even though it's got her at them. But it's about being that submissive spirit. That's what it's got her at them. And that's what we miss. We major on minors. Verses 4 to 6, they say, every man praying or prophesying or having his head covered dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. For it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, but let her be covered. Now, is that one line? Now, men ain't to cover their heads when they pray, because they're made in the image of God, right? God's direct creation. That's why they're not to cover their heads, right? But there's something in this verse, I think, what everyone misses. When it talks about women, it says, but every woman who prays and prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. Now, listen for a minute. So we know from that scripture that a woman can pray, and she can prophesy in the church. There are things that she can do. Now we know she can't teach, because 1 Timothy says, I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. Right, so she can't have a teaching ministry and pastoral ministry, because God's given to men to do in the church. But it does say that a woman can pray. and prophesy in the church. Have you said that one before? You see, people always seem to teach. I want to be up there and teach. Everyone can see me. But hold up a minute. God's give gifts there. There's gifts for the women in his church. That God's give you the gift of prayer. And there's prophecy can happen in this church. Things that are directly that God's given women to do. And what an opportunity that we have. You know, the Bible says God gives good gifts to his children. Do you think if he says we've got them gifts here, do you believe that they could be active in this church? I do. If we pray faith, we'd be obedient and do things in faith, I believe God can move how he wants. And what an opportunity. But he said she must cover it. If she does this, it's dishonour. It's the same way if a man covers his head, it's dishonour. The word there means dishonour. It means it's a disgraceful thing. If a woman don't cover it when she prays or prophesies, Paul uses the word dishonour, which means disgraceful. That's why Charles does it the most. If someone's got a cap on, because he's done it to me a few times, to be honest with you, when we've been out. If someone's got a cap on, they say, bow your heads and pray. It will be on and go, out straight off the head. Because it's dishonour, because it's there in the scripture. It's there. And listen. And we've got to think, if we put ourselves in the time period where they're at, we put ourselves in that time. The only women that walked about with their head uncovered was immoral women. Immoral women of the temple at that time. That's all there was that had their head uncovered. See, if they walked about like that, there's identifying with them women. That's what it meant. Like in the old society. But Paul's took that and he's saying, look, we're praying to an holy God. Forget here. Forget all this. It's between you and him. That's what it's about. That's what it's about ultimately. And in the New Living Translation, right, this is what it just makes words a bit easier. In 11 verse 6, it says, yes, if she refuses to wear a head covering, she should cut off all of her hair. But since it is shameful for a woman to have a haircut or a head shaved, she should wear a covering. So what's he saying? He's saying, if you won't cover your head when you pray, do you know what the best thing for you to go and do? Go and shave all your hair off. Shave the lot straight off, he's saying. Why? Because God's commanded something and you'd rather sit in dishonour and in disgrace what God don't want. It's disobedience. That's what it is. And that's how Paul's... You don't get it from there, but it's the strong language Paul uses. It's a disgrace. Look, shave the lot off. And what's he say? If she refuses to wear one. No, listen. I might be for women in here. Ain't a big deal. Mary's always covers her head when she prays. But it's about submissive to God, isn't it? It's about being submissive to the Father. If God wants us to do something, we should do it. It's not rocket science, is it? It's not a big, deep theological thing. If that's what God wants, we should do it. You know, like, that's what Paul's saying in that. Look, cut the lot off. What he's saying is, look, listen, you ain't wearing head covering. You're just like them out there, aren't you? Where's the difference? Where's the difference in that? And then he says, for man indeed. Now, Paul's going to use two things now to say why women need it, why women should wear an head covering. He's going to use creation of man and he's going to use nature. Two things Paul uses as an argument. He says in verse 7, he says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and the glory of God. But a woman is the glory of man. For man is not from the woman, but the woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but the woman for man. Right? Right, so man is created in the image of God. But this is what I've been thinking about it this week. This is what I've been thinking about this week. Because, right, she was made for man. Woman was made for man. But she was made for man to be a helper. That's what she was, a woman to be a helper to her husband. Right, that's what is made for. She was made for. And if in marriage, you know, if a man does his job right in the home, as a Christian man. The wife will automatically submit. In my own. Listen, I'm an odd taskmaster. Like, I rule the roost, you do as you're told. This, that. Look, it's up to me. Be quiet and do it. Is that how Christ loves his church? Is that how Christ talks to his church? What's Paul say? He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And gave himself for her. And husbands, listen, this is that. You might be seeing anything in Kushti. She's got to be submissive. And listen, if you do your part right in your own, do you know the marriage will work in harmony? A Christian marriage will work in harmony. If the husband's doing what's right, the wife will do what's right. Because remember this, husbands. Remember this. Right? God has given me and you a great responsibility. Every man in this place is a pastor in his own home. Every man. I've got to give an account for my... When I stand before the Lord, I've got to give an account how I've treated my wife, how I've grown my children up and taught my children. I can't even be a minister if my own life ain't right. Because Paul says, if his own life ain't right, how's he going to take care of a church? It's a very important thing. The household is a very important thing. Something that Satan and today's society is trying to destroy.
Amen.
We've got a great responsibility that we can only hold it together in the power of God. But if we want to hold it together, you want to imitate Paul? Imitate Christ, that Christ loved his church and gave himself for his church. That's how we've got to be. It's better to have a marriage that's submissive in Christ than to have one where it's just all the time is like that, isn't it? Ain't it right we put Christ at the centre and live how Christ wants us to live? Because remember as well, and I've always been careful about this, right? Your children, the Christ what you show your children ain't the Christ that you bring them to church, it's the Christ that me and you show them in private. That's the Christ what they see. So if we're not showing Christ at home and only showing Christ in here, what is it? What, going to church? You know, when I was younger, right? You know, church, I was fit to death when I went to church. I'll tell you why. Because if you'd moved, you was dead. Right? You was moved. You'd have to sit there like a statue. Right? They would. And I hate you going. But that wasn't Christ, was it? Move that you're dead. But listen, we've got to show the true Christ. Show Christ in your homes. And he says, for this reason, that woman ought to have a symbol over her forehead, over her head, because of the angels. Now that's why he's saying, for this reason, look, he's used creation. Now the angels are there. He says, the morning stars sang for joy when the foundations of the earth were laid. When God created, the angels were there singing. The angels see, and he's saying, look, for this reason, the creation, the angels were there at creation, they see all this. Right? He said, it's showing, he said, that the woman's under authority. That's why the angels can see. And we know that because of the gospel's sake in Peter, the angels desire and they look into things that the church is doing. 1 Peter 1:12, he says the angels look, desire, they're looking, wondering what's going on. There's something new here. Do you know that they don't understand that what, you know, Christ laying his life down for us, that's unique to man. He didn't die for the angels, did he? Angels can't get born again. God in human flesh laid his life down for me and you, dirty, rotten sinners. So we don't have to go to hell. He's laid his life down, died and rose again, and we could have eternal life. And he says, angels desire to look into this. Why? Because they're learning from us. They're learning things from me and you. Christ died for this lot. Why? What are these church meetings about? Why have they got the red cover? Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? They're looking into things. They see a perfect creation get corrupted. When Eve took the fruit, they see sin enter the world. But then they see the Son of Man lays life down for those that he created, that rebelled against him, he laid his life down for, and that he's risen, and that everything he does is for them. And they look into that. Now, what's Paul saying? Now, he's saying, look, this reason, that was there at the beginning. Cover your head for the authority of the angels. There's there at the beginning. And they're seeing everything today. And what could they learn? What will they see? They see, like you're saying, if they see like women when they pray, cover their heads, what's he seeing? They're seeing the submissive, being submissive. That same submissiveness that Christ gave to the Father. That's what they're seeing. That's what they're looking into. There's so much more, aren't they? There's so much more. It's not just simply chucking a scarf on your head when you pray or prophesy and chucking a scarf on your head. There's so much more. One is being obedient to Christ, doing things that God wants you to do. But that angels can look down and see what you're doing. I think that's such a great thing that God's given them. I think that's such a great thing. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For a woman came from man, and so man also comes through the woman, but all things are from God. Listen, what he's saying is, we're not independent of one another. Right? We're all one. You keep them doors shut, please. Right, he's saying, look, that's what he's saying. We're not independent of one another. A marriage ain't a man or a woman being independent of himself. A man being married ain't him going to do what he wants and his wife starving to death at home. She can't do nothing, can't move. That's not what God wants. God wants a marriage that is submissive to one another. In Christ. That brings you closer together in Christ. That our Christ wants you to move forward. But sadly today we're in a world that will laugh at you for that. I was watching something the other day. A woman was on there. She was talking about how they had all these career people around. They're having like this big discussion. All these career people. And they had a woman on there. And she went, I'm an housewife. And everyone laughed at her. Everyone was laughing because she was an housewife. Oh, that's so 1900s they was going. You're meant to be an independent woman and all things like this. And she was saying, well, I'll take care of my husband, my children. And he goes out and takes care of us. And they all laughed at her. But that's what God wants. That's what God wants. And yet we get laughed at. Christianity ain't, you know, today. You know the media, a mock Christianity in a second. Christianity is a joke in this country, it is an utter joke. You know Islam, they dare do it. They dare out and mock Islam at all. You know Christianity, anyone will do it. Do you know why? Because it's the Christian's fault. Because Christianity has been watered down, and they've watered it down, and let the world come into the church with all these worldly thoughts and worldly ways. Christianity has become an absolute joke. And that's why when you get, like, they call us conservative Christians or fundamental Christians. That's what they call us, because we live by the teachings of the Word of God. And we get laughed at. And we get mocked. Because you know what we teach? One man for one woman. Marriage is one man, one woman. You know today, in a few years' time, we get shut down over talk like that. We will get shut down. But that's what Paul's saying here. That's what Paul's saying. We submit. Marriage is submissive to one another. That's what it is. We go forward one in Christ. Forget about the world. Listen, this world, the Bible says your life is but a vapor. Or it's like the grass. Today is here, tomorrow is chucked into the oven. We don't know how long we've got on this earth. Life passes by so quick. It's so fast. Why worry about what the world thinks when all that really matters is Christ? You see what matters? Do you know, if someone don't like you for being a Christian, well, see you later. What can you do? We can't worry about run our Christian life with what the world thinks of us if we're going to offend them. Do you know, if you're walking out, Christ wants you to walk, we're going to offend people. You will offend people, I guarantee you that. Because you go against the grain. But that's part of it. That's part of it. And then Paul goes on here. And now he's going to use nature. He says, judge among yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself tell you that if a man has long hair, it's a dishonour to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for it's given to her for a covering. Now, Paul's using nature here. Why is he saying man has long hair is a dishonour? He's not saying it's a sin to have long hair. He's not saying that. Because Samson had long hair. The vow of a Nazarite, they took the Nazarite vow in Numbers. Part of it was to let their hair grow long. Right? There's part of it. He's not saying it's a sin. But they're doing it for religious reasons, glorifying God. Right? But it's saying, like, when you go out, it says, I'm not being funny, you got a man with hair down to here. You walk out and go, hold up, man. Right? What's ever going on? What's ever going on? Am I the only one? No. All them over this side of the camera know exactly what I mean. But, it ain't right, is it? Even nature, even like, you know yourself, nature itself tells you them things ain't right. And yet God's given the woman long hair for beauty, hasn't he? It's totally different. Now when he's saying that it's given to her for a covering, he's saying that's what nature gives her for a covering. Paul's not talking there about he's given her hair for covering in prayer. Because he ain't going to go on for 12 verses saying a woman's got to cover her head and go, well, she's got hair. That's a covering. He's using nature as an example. Look, nature ain't left you bald, has it? It's given you a beautiful hair covering. That's what he's saying. That's what Paul's saying there. And listen, no tormenting the brothers who's got a bit of long hair. Right? Because I'm jealous to death of everyone with a bit of hair. Yeah. I used to be able to do that. It's just the eyebrows I didn't flick up there. But it's a glory that... That's what Paul's on about. You know what's right, he's saying. Judge among yourselves. You know what's right. You know exactly what's right. But then he says, he ends with, look, I'll read in a New Living Translation. He says, but if anyone wants to argue about this, I will simply say that we have no other custom than this, and neither do the other churches of God. So what Paul's saying there, if someone's coming into this church, in Corinth Church, and arguing about it, he wants an argument about head coverings, he's saying, look, he's saying, I'll simply tell you, we have no other custom, and nor do the other churches of God have no other custom. All the women cover their heads. That's what Paul ends with. That's what Paul ends with. He puts it plainly. It's so plain. But but God's got an order, because that's how God wants it. Look, and we can argue against it all day long. But when we stand before the Lord, and he goes, well, why didn't you cover your head? Well, I didn't like it, Lord. Well, I ain't going to wash, is it? But Christ knows what's best, doesn't he? Christ knows what's best for us, for his church. And if you're not born again in this place, Christ knows what's best for you. Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that every one of us are sinners. Every one of us sins. Every one of us has had bad faults, thought hateful things, we've told lies, we've done bad things, all wrongdoing. The Bible says all wrongdoing is sin. Sin is wrongdoing, breaking the law. And the Bible says that sin is going to take us one day to hell. We're going to die in our sins, the Bible says, and we're going to go to hell. But the Bible also tells us there is a judgment coming. And there's a book, the Bible says, and it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And one day, if you're not born again in this place, you're going to stand before God And he's going to say, is their name written in the book of life? And he says, the angel would open the book. He'd open the book. He'd go down. And he'd say, their name doesn't appear, Lord. And he says, right, bind them hand and foot and cast them into the lake of fire where they'll be weeping and gnashing their teeth. If your name's not written in the book of life, the Bible says, you'll be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. But there is a way that you can have your name written in that book of life. And that's accepting that Jesus Christ came to this earth for payment for your sins in his own blood. That he died upon the cross at Calvary. He was buried in a tomb. And 3 days later rose from death unto life. And the Bible says that if you confess your sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that you'll be born again. And that you go to heaven. And that's guaranteed. And your name will be written in the book of life. So when you get there that day, you'll be in. And it's free. We're not asking for no money. Not asking you to join a club. We just want you to have Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's pray.